It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We have moved to the book of Deuteronomy. We have done a survey, a real very quick survey of the book of Numbers. And now we're going to come to Deuteronomy chapter 4 is where we're going to begin reading today. And so while you're opening your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4, I ask that you will open your Bibles so that you can study with us. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles now, and we'll begin the study. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them which ye will, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God, Lord God of your fathers given you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. We're going to end with that short reading today and begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come together and enjoy this study. Please that you will guide and lead us through each part of it as we will go through a little bit of Joshua, the beginning of Joshua even, and some of back in Exodus and Psalms and Genesis and back into Deuteronomy, and so just several places, dear Lord. So please that you guide and lead us and just make it ever so straight so that we can understand it. And so it's so important that we do understand your precious word. So please guide and lead us now today as we have this study and grow us, bring us to the saving knowledge of your Son, the Lord Jesus, that he is the one that brings salvation into our hearts. Show the lost today him that he will come into their heart and save them. And please today that you would take your Holy Spirit that he may teach us that are saved your way and your will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we were looking at Numbers chapter 35, and we looked at several verses of Scripture back in Numbers, and we can kind of glance back there very, very quickly here, because as we looked at these verses of Scripture, it was concerning the cities of refuge, the cities for the Levites, those things. And so if you remember that, I hope that you were with us last time we were together. And again, we come now to the place of the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm going to share with you just very quickly here a little bit of a general statement about the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua that we're heading into after we finish here with a brief stay with Deuteronomy. The book of Genesis has so much in it. If you have never studied it, please go back and visit our website. We don't have all of that study there, but we are progressing as we put more and more of the studies there. Please that you would begin with the book of Genesis, and you could go and go through half-hour studies of that book on the website if you would like to. If not, just please that you would read the book of Genesis. It's so important that you understand it. It is the beginning of life. It is creation as real, not as man has developed the system that has kind of evolved into place over the last millions or billions of years. This earth is not that old. It is only approximately 6,000 years old, and God spoke it into existence, and everything that we have and know it came at that time. And so we have the beginning of life, we have the creation, we also have the fall. And how that took place, and also we have redemption already spoken of in the third chapter of Genesis, verse 15. And so very quickly, and then it gives us the birth of the nation of Israel. through Abraham starts back in Genesis. And so we have those things. It's just, again, kind of a very quick overview of Genesis. And then we come to Exodus. And Exodus is the most beautiful picture of redemption that we have. We get the law, we're at Sinai, and from the travel from Egypt to Mount Sinai is the distance of the travel, and everything else in the book of Exodus is taken care of right there at that location, a geographic location. It lasted a little over a year. And so, but they received the law, but more important than the law shows us who we are and how dirty we are and how filthy we are and how much we need a Savior. And then the rest of the book is about, of course, the people of Israel, but it's about God's plan of redemption. And he gives us this beautiful, beautiful picture through this book of Exodus with the tabernacle and everything that amounts to that. And then we get on to Leviticus, and when you look at Leviticus, and again, we move through there very quickly. We just stop by one area to look at the Day of Atonement And so the believers are sanctified, and in other words, it is. But that is a lifelong process. It's not just something we say or something we do to make us perfect. It is something that that takes place on a daily basis, and God just continues to make us who we need to be, and gives us a joy and a privilege to live and an excitement to live. And so this book of Leviticus does just that. It shows us how we're to do that. Now, Numbers, as we spend a little bit more time in Numbers, why we had many trials and much testing in Numbers, and the book of Numbers is over a 38 and a half year period. And so from the time they leave Exodus till they get to the Promised Land, there's 40 years there, but they spent almost over a year at Mount Sinai, and so then in Numbers, they numbered the people and they begin their trip. And so that's where we get to Kadesh Barnea, and we take a look at the Promised Land with the spies, and sad to say, majority rule, they didn't remember, didn't listen to God, and so they were put through a time of trial and of testing, and that trial and testing lasted a period of 38 and a half years, and we know that everyone over the age of 20 years and above all died during this time, during that period of time. And so some people died very young, but it happened because they refused to believe God. And so instead of enjoying the Promised Land all those years and bringing their children up in that promise of God, instead of that, they refused to trust the promise of God. So they were taken through this time of testing and of trials, and from 20 years old and up were died. And for 40 years or 38 and a half years there, the younger than that had to go through this wilderness journey. They missed the blessings of the Promised Land for almost 40 years. And the ones that died never saw it. And so the only ones that got to see it was the 10, actually 12 spies that went in. 10 didn't trust God, and that was the majority that won, Caleb and Joshua. Now, they're the only two that get to enter into the Promised Land that was over that age. So we've seen that as we went through that book very quickly. And now we're finding ourselves to the book of Deuteronomy. And what we just read there in the fourth chapter is kind of a strange statement, and we're going to spend the time today looking at that in many other areas. But what it amounts to is that the people that was at Mount Sinai, they're all dead, and that was from 20 years old and upward, in other words, adults. And so it was just the children from 0 to 19 years old. And, of course, the 19-year-olds, they would remember hearing and seeing some of those things, but the younger was not. And so God, through the book of Deuteronomy, restates everything because he wants these people, through Moses, through the same mediator, through the same person, to tell them as he told the original group. And so you see, that's part of the reason that some of this through Deuteronomy is much of it is a duplication of what we've already heard. But it's to a new group. is to a new group to hear all the promises, all the word, all the law, so that they can go into the promised land and take it. And if you'll notice what we looked at here in this fourth verse, it says, the statutes unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. You know, today we have so many versions of the Bible that have distorted and really destroyed God's true word. And we need to be very careful about that. You know that I stay with the King James, and I don't move from it. And I won't, because it is the clearest and most accurate. I still go back many times to the Greek and to the Hebrew to look up certain words. But by doing that, I get such a full look at it, where the new versions, they may take one word from the Hebrew dictionary or the Greek dictionary. They will take one word to make the sentence seem right, but you need more than just one word so that you understand it. So when I always say study the Word of God, that's what I mean. And when I'm reading through verses of Scripture, I'll see a word there, and I'll have, boy, I don't even know, even if I think I know what it is. I'll go back into the Greek or the Hebrew, I'll look that word up, so I'll have the definition of it, so I understand it. And so you see, it's not to be light reading that you just sit and read through several chapters in one setting. Study the Word of God, and I want you to do that because you will know it and learn it, and it's wonderful. And so we see here that because God wants them to not add to it or take away from it, he better tell them one more time. And so he takes the same man. He doesn't use Joshua, even though the hand of command has already been put into place. Moses is still here, and we find at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, we find that's where Moses dies. And so as we look at this time, so this whole book now, Moses is still alive, even though back in Numbers we are told take over for Moses, but God wanted the same man to tell the same story so that there is no question of what has taken place and how it's been taken place. So we have that here in this fourth chapter. So the Deuteronomy is, once again, the government of God. And they have heard it once, but now that this group is going to go in, they get all the specifics of it from Moses, directly from God to Moses, to the people. So there's no question about it, and there's no excuse of, boy, I didn't understand that. You know, I was too young when we were at Sinai. There's no excuse, because they got it all and received it. Now, the next book that we're going to here and we're looking at, and that, of course, is Joshua, and we will be there in pretty short order. We're not going to spend a lot of time here in Deuteronomy because we have heard it. We've been through it, but I want you to see it. But Joshua here is the people of God are finally entering into their inheritance. The book of Joshua in the Old Testament and the book of Ephesians in the New are so closely linked together. And so I just hope that you see that and will enjoy it. The sad thing is that there was a multitude, and we don't know for sure the number because of the exact number that was brought before us originally there. And then if you remember the recount that we had, and the recount, and that is just men prepared that's old enough and prepared to go to war. Well, that was the number of soldiers. Well, that's just fine. But then we could, you know, triple that 2 to 3 times without any trouble. And if you'll remember, it was in the 600,000 area, if my memory serves me right. And so you take that times 3, why we're up into the 1.5-2 million area. And so we could say that at least 1 million in that range, 1 million, 1.5 million, probably died in this 38.5 period from the end of Exodus through Numbers to the book of Deuteronomy. Now, Deuteronomy here, for the location, we had the end of Exodus, all of Leviticus was at Sinai. We have Numbers was the 38.5 years during the travel. Deuteronomy now, we're at another location, and we're across the Jordan River awaiting to go into the Promised Land. So you see, that's the location. So I want you to see that. And then, of course, the book of Joshua is them taking the Promised Land as God commands them. So we have that much started. I wanted to give you just a little bit of introduction there. I hope that you enjoyed that. And now we have several things here that we need to take a look at, and that is concerning the nation of Israel. And when we look at this book of Deuteronomy, we to this day, the comment is made that over the Holy Land. Now, why is it called the Holy Land? The Lord called it so. It is His land because it belongs to God, and this land that is given to the Israelites, it's because God has given that. There is no other land that has been given to any people any time in history. No place. We're just tenants on this land, except for the nation of Israel. And this nation of Israel, we're going to take a look at, and we have in the past, but we're going to do it again, the full region that God wanted them to take. And so let's take a look at a couple of verses of Scripture here, and we're going to be in several verses, but I want you to see why that Israel has received this land, and who gave it. And so Psalms chapter 24, verse 1, "And the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." Okay, once again, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. He's the only one that has the right to give land to anybody. And He has given it to the nation of Israel. Now let's go back to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, the fifth verse. Exodus 19:5. "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandments, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Once again, all the earth is mine. Now, as we look back in time, the nation of Israel, we have looked at its conception, its growth. Now we're just waiting to go into a land that God has given to this people. And never in history, ever, has there been a people that has been driven from their land completely, taken out of their land. Their land literally annihilated, and in 70 is when the temple was finally destroyed, and all were scattered. But back in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, all those time periods, we watched the people being removed, and some were able to come back. But finally, the ultimate scattering of the nation of Israel took place. And these people, the peoples of Israel, the Jews, were scattered all over the world, never, according to the world, to come home again. Their land was totally taken from them. None of their land existed, nor was there a people other than just small groups here and here and here. And so we see in something in Isaiah that I think made a difference. When finally that year of 1948 came to pass, and some 2,000, almost 2,000 years later, a people that had no land kept their name and came back to possess their land. Never, ever had that happened before, nor since. Now we're going to look at this in Isaiah. I want you to look with me there. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, the 8th verse. "Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travaileth, she brought forth her children. They were taken from the land because of disobedience, scattered throughout all the world. But on May 14th, in one day, there was in 1948, with a small handful of Jews back in their land, they were given back their land by the United Nations. They were accepted. Let me say this correctly. They were taken in as a new nation with 650,000 Jews in Palestine. They had collected back and they had received their land back, a very, very small portion of it. And to this day, it's a very, very small portion that they should have. But for the first time, and if you don't believe the Bible, look at this one thing only. Look at one thing, and that is this miracle of the promise that 700 years before the birth of Christ, some 2,700 years ago, the promise was given that basically in one day the nation would be reborn again. And it says there, who hath heard such a thing? Nobody believed it. But it was taken place in one day, the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And what a day that was. Now, we're going to go back because I've already said in May 14th, 1948, is when the nation of Israel received their land back. The reason we're talking about this is because, my friend, we're looking here in this book of Deuteronomy. We are looking at them standing at the door of the nation to take possession of the land for the first time. In May 14, 1948, they received a portion, very small portion of land back. Never did they possess all the land that God gave them. They never took possession of all of it. During the reign of Solomon was the only time that it got close, but never since. And now to this day, today, it is a very, very small portion that the nation of Israel holds. There will be a day when they will possess all the land that they have to be given them. Now, let's go back, all the way back to Deuteronomy, because they were promised the land, they lost the land, and there wasn't a person alive that thought they would ever get this land back, ever. And yet, we know that history has been fulfilled. Prophecy has been fulfilled. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You have heard me say many times that when our country, the United States of America, if they ever stand against the nation of Israel and with another nation and go against Israel, stop supporting them, stop helping them, and stand against them, will be the time that we will cease to exist, because that's the only reason. We are such a wicked nation now, and yet God is still blessing us. And the only reason He is because we're standing with this little country. I believe it's about the size of Rhode Island. It's a little tiny country that's called Israel, over in what we call the Holy Land. And it's the Holy Land because it belongs to God and God's people. That's the only reason that it holds that name and possesses that name. Now, just a couple of things. So I went back now to Genesis chapter 12 to when it was first given. We have talked about this date of May 14th, 1948, when they regained possession of a land that God had given them. We looked at how that in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8, that a question was raised, how can this be? And they still didn't believe it when the president of the United States made the deciding vote to make the nation of Israel once again a nation. Nothing but a miracle of God that happened. Where are the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Hittites and the Jebusites? And where are all those Ites and the Canaanites? Where are they? They no longer exist. They have no longer any home. They're gone. Why is the Jews still here? No other peoples has survived and held on to their land except God's people. And again, the land is holy because God, it's His land and He has given it to His people. And you hear that all the time, even on the liberal news. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. We'll finally get to the book of Deuteronomy. And we've got many other things to look at that we won't get to today. But I want you to see this people as they begin to enter into their land the first time. And I want to make the connection of today and what's going on. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we're going to read the sixth verse. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. God chose them. Now, why did he choose them? Did he choose them because they loved him? Did God choose the nation of Israel because they were great in number? Well, let's read the seventh verse. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were fewest of all the people. Fewest of all the people. It is not because Israel, again, loved God. We find here that he was the fewest. Now let's look at Isaiah 45, 4. Why did God choose him? Because he chose them, not because there were some great people. It was just God's choice. And that's the reason that God chose them, and God's going to bring them back. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4. Isaiah 45, 4. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my elect, I have even called thee by thy name and have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. It wasn't because they loved God and served God. No. And matter of fact, if we'd look back here in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Verse 7, remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. For the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this land, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Rebellious against the Lord. God called a people, and God's word is true. And even though they were so disobedient and lost the possession of their land for almost 2,000 years, God's promise is true. And to gather back a people that has no land, a people that should have been mixed into all the nations of the world, because that's where they lived, they should have lost their identity, but they did not. Because they're God's chosen people. And God's going to bring them back, and He has brought them back to His land. And at a point in time, they will finally possess all the land that God has given them. Now, we're just about to enter into this promised land. I want you to see this connection between. And we've got a few more verses to look up, and then we're going to enjoy the book of Deuteronomy very shortly, and then go on to Joshua. Oh, it's a wonderful study. My dear friend, I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?